You're so beautiful.
I know. I was just thinking that. I haven't eaten in 3 weeks. I'm so hungry. I have to go host the Oscars.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me.
I'll have what she's having.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Real Talk Extra. I'm MC Adem. And this episode basically is, I'm just going to give you my experience or what I feel about the last Oscar. Oscar season is a time where I pretty much just look at the movies that are nominated. I do the best I can to watch them within the confines of, you know, whatever time I have to watch them. And sometimes, even after the awards, I try to do the best I can to catch up with the ones that actually won it. And most of the times, it's more of trying to look at it and see if, oh, was this movie actually worth watching based on, you know, all these nominations? What is it about this movie that is actually, you know, what's the hype about this movie? I think last year for me, it was Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. When Michelle Yeoh won it, I pretty much had not seen the movie before she won the Oscar. So I said that, okay, after the Oscar, I watched it. And for the most part, I think it pretty much lived up to what was expected. I mean, I could see why it won the Oscar. You see, there are two kinds of Oscar movies. They are the ones that I have watched in the past, and I would say, I really don't know what they were looking for. Were they looking for something I'm not seeing? For example, you see, a movie that is a plain old story. It's a basic story. There's really, I don't want to say any names because I know that, you see, for every movie that is out there, there is something beautiful for somebody. Somebody can relate to something beautiful in the movie. And for somebody else that is watching, there may be a total disconnect. And that disconnect makes you not actually have the capacity to identify with that movie. I'll give you a typical example. In 2021, there was this movie called Nomadland. That movie had Frances McDormand. And was it a good film? Of course. When I heard about that film, I literally watched it after it won the Oscars. And I wanted to see exactly what it was about. So, Nomadland, I know it was made in 20, of course, it was made in 2021, in 2021. Frances McDormand also won the Best Leading Actress that year for that movie. So, in watching the movie, I'm like, okay, it's a good story, but I know that it actually revolves around certain groups of people who can identify exactly what was going on or who can relate with it, or there are a type of people. I don't want to be a spoiler for this kind of movie or anything, but I think it will be worth a watch. I mean, if you're in the habit of watching movies that won the Oscar, is something that you can go and judge for yourself. For me, it was a beautiful film, don't get me wrong, but in comparison to the other movies that it was nominated with at the time, I didn't feel it would have won. And I said that to say this because, like I said earlier, in the Oscars, they give out a bunch of awards, like a truckload of awards. There are many awards given now. They give awards for some things that you probably, a lot of backroom things, you know. Like, these are the awards that you would see where they would give for, you know, costume, makeup, stunt performance, all those kind of things that you probably will not see in the SAG Awards. I probably, they might be there, but I wouldn't take note, and some of them may not have been visible on television. But there are key awards I know that everybody looks out for. For example, Best Supporting Role, Actor, Actress. You're looking out for Best Leading Role, Actor, Actress. You're looking out for the Best Director. You're looking out for the Best Picture. In fact, these categories that I just called now are one of the main categories that, for the most part, people will be looking out for. And to be honest, with the kind of schedule that I feel I had from last year into this year, in terms of maybe my time to watch movies, I will say that most of the results that we had for this Oscar checked out, except one that I know was a little bit debatable for me, and then I changed my mind. So, of course, if you watched the Oscars last Sunday, you would know that, of course, Oppenheimer got Best Picture. No surprises there. It has been winning probably every good thing within its category. And Cillian Murphy got Best Actor for Oppenheimer. Then Davine Joy Randolph got Best Supporting Actress. Robert Downey Jr. gets Best Supporting Actor. And then the one I know that initially when I saw it, I felt was Emma Stone for Poor Things. And the reason was because, you know, it came up with the same nomination with Killers of the Flower Moon. And Killers of the Flower Moon had Lily Gladstone, who had previously won the Golden Globes, and she had also won the SAG Awards. So, you know, in that trajectory, a lot of people actually felt that she would win the Oscars. But, like, the Oscars, they're always looking for something else. They're always looking for something different. Something that you feel, I mean, you may be seeing something, but they're looking for something else. I mean, the voters are looking for something else. But the reason I said I changed my mind is, honestly, on Oscar night, I had not watched Poor Things. But during the course of this week, I actually had time, or made time, to watch Poor Things. And in all honesty, it didn't take me 20 minutes into this film to see why. I mean, if you're talking about Best Actress in comparison to Lily Gladstone. Now, Lily Gladstone's performance was outstanding. It was marvelous. It was, I feel like, after watching The Killer of the Flower Moon, I feel like in terms of performance, it was outstanding. It was great. If you have not seen it, you should make time to see it if you haven't. And if you're interested in those kind of historical, you know, flicks. But some may argue that Lily Gladstone is, I mean, she played the part of somebody from her own cultural heritage, if I'm correct. And maybe it may be easier. Now, acting is acting. When the director, or, you know, on set, when they say action, you disappear from your own personality and appear into somebody else that you are not, whether or not it is a role. So we have to respect that particular thing. But if you watch Poor Things and you see the role that Emma Stone played, the role that Emma Stone played really was some very abstract, I don't know if I use the word unhuman role. A role that you don't know anybody like that. But for some reason, Emma Stone was able to put up that kind of role that, of course, was very abstract. I don't know if anybody, you know, sometimes what this brings me to notice, honestly, is that sometimes when we have these biases, we want to ask ourselves, have you seen the other movies that were nominated within this category? Before you judge or you say, oh, I'm angry, they should have given, because it popped up on the internet after that announcement was made that it was Emma Stone that won. The internet, you know, you had a lot of people saying, oh, they should have given it to Lily Gladstone. I was one of them. So for the most part, Oscar night, most of the awards for me checked out, because if you follow the awards, you find out that they have this trajectory. They are the usual suspects that will win, and they are those that, you know, will probably not win. For example, you know, like Barbie. If you Barbie was, I think, would I say it performed below expectation? Barbie got 8 nominations. 8 nominations. And won only one nomination. And the nomination it won was not even for the movie per se. It was the song performed by Billie Eilish. Honestly, I don't know among the categories that were out there which one of them Barbie could have won over the others. Like I said earlier, you know, it was like most of the announcements there were when they announced the winner, like, you know, I said, well, it's worth it. Yes, 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 you know. But out of the 8, it was only one, and it was for the music. Is there a reason why? I don't know. I mean, it depends on how the Academy votes. That's what the Academy is looking for. Barbie, I know, was a film that when it, on its release, apart from how well it did, it also sparked off some kind of craze that I felt, well, maybe I'm too old for this because I didn't understand it. But I said there must be a reason why people adhere to this kind of, you know, I'm liking this kind of movie at this particular time, especially, you know, the topics that it addressed. And for me, I loved America's role in it, but it just won one award. And sometimes, you know, that's how the Oscar goes. There's no telling that because you made, you know, a huge box office success in your movie that you are going to clean out at the Oscars. The Oscars is the Academy Arts and Science. That's what they're looking for. And it probably didn't check out. So the award season is something that I always look forward to, especially with regards to my love for movies. And I normally like to see what is being looked at, what is at the top of the game. And award night also is a different ball game. I'll take a little break, and when I come back, we'll just talk about the event as a whole in itself, presented by Jimmy Kimmel.
And now, to divulge the contents of this year's most important envelope is a very important contributor to world entertainment, and someone, quite likely, well, ladies and gentlemen, that was almost bound to happen. But isn't it fascinating that... fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings.
Events, they're like the Oscars, you know, are mad or made with different events that are significant. I don't think there's anybody here that will forget that the only thing we remember from an Oscar is a slap. Significant event. And then there are the ones that could happen sporadically, like the slap, or they are the ones that could happen just because you want to create some kind of entertainment. I don't know if it's to buttress the comedian who is hosting at the same time. I mean, one of the things I never knew that in 1974, a 33-year-old man named Robert Opal, this man during the Oscar that was presented by a guy called David Niven, you know, then I didn't know who the stars was, but I remember that he was actually trying to, I think, bring out Elizabeth Taylor. And this man by the name of Robert Opal, he ran across the stage stark naked. Happened in 1974. And on Sunday night's event, the Oscar event, Jimmy Kimmel mentions this. And then we then now see John Cena now trying to recreate that. Well, he wasn't trying to recreate it per se, but he tried to present himself, you know, presented an award naked. Honestly, I found that quite entertaining and shocking. And, you know, there must be something that anybody could have taken away from me that was hilarious. And a lot of guts from the part of John Cena. I mean, we're talking about people on the biggest night in Hollywood. Everybody is trying to figure out exactly what they are going to put on. And then you see a John Cena naked. I know, surely he didn't walk the red carpet like that, but at least we presenting the award, that was what we saw. So I think I found that hilarious. Then, this not so hilarious, why it happened, I don't know. Was, you see, Jimmy Kimmel, for the most part, you see, between Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert, most times I could watch any of them. I find Stephen Colbert very, very funny, you know, and especially in the area of, like, you know, politics and the punchlines between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. I mean, Stephen Colbert, for the most part, he knows how to hit anybody to create a good punchline. So Jimmy Kimmel is hosting this show, and, you know, surprisingly, when he comes out and says that Trump, I don't know whether it was a tweet or an article that he posted. Am I still saying tweet is X now? But he X'd it or he tweeted it. You know, we're talking about, according to this, he says that Jimmy Kimmel was the worst host. This was the tweet from Trump, supposedly, that Jimmy Kimmel was the worst host at the Oscars, criticizing his opening monologue. And he even suggested in that tweet that, you see, I still keep calling it a tweet because I don't know how to use X in a past tense. X'd it. Look, so I guess anybody that's listening, you know what I'm saying. But the main point basically is he tried to trash him and put out a statement. And then Jimmy Kimmel comes out and says, "Thank you, President Trump. Thank you for watching. I'm surprised you're still up. Isn't it past your jail time?" You see, honestly, the reason I watch movies, the reason I watch sports is to escape the craziness. It helps with mental health. Forget it. I mean, there are people who decide they need to go get a cigarette to relax. They decide, oh, they're gonna need a can of beer or some wine, some alcohol habitually or something, you know, to try to find some kind of coping mechanism to relax sometime. You understand? I could have a few drinks occasionally, but I do not find it a coping mechanism for life itself. But if I watch a movie, maybe I can get lost in the characters, I can relate with the characters, and that moment, it kind of takes me away from all this craziness. So when I find that stuff like that is even injected in this space, I'm like, there's no hiding from it. This is America. There's no hiding from it. So, listening to Jimmy Kimmel's rebuttal, you don't want to mess with these comedians. That's what I'm saying. you cannot mess with these comedians. You cannot, how do we say it, yap them better than they can yap you. And by yap, I mean they can mock you in the craziest of ways. But I feel like people like that now, they are very immune to it. I mean, everybody has their words out there. These days, you put yourself out there as a public figure, you better learn how to be immune to all kinds of criticism coming from anywhere, because there will be, and it probably will just be endless. And I feel they have some kind of tolerance level to all kinds of criticism, so it does not do anything to them, and they just, you know, they can take it. You come in there, you yab me, you say anything you like, you mock me, you create jokes and all that, because all the late host shows, all the late hosts, all of them now, I don't know if there are any Republicans or, you know, people who are leaning right that host, because everybody seems to be, or maybe it's just these politicians are just giving them good material for their comedy skits, period. Because why would you send that kind? The first time I heard it, I seriously thought, okay, this is some kind of skit, but I don't know if you can joke about that kind of thing. So it obviously was something he would do. And I mean, for those of us who know, I mean, if you've been following what's been going on, it does not drift too far away from character. Like, you can pick up your phone and be sending that kind of message, and you know that a lot of people will hear it and a lot of people will see it. And then he just brings it live for everybody else to hear. And he gives you his rebuttal live on air. Anyways, not to digress. Well, these were some of the high points for me, apart from the awards. Like, I always love the Oscar season. I love the award seasons. Most of the awards, apart from the SAG Awards, the Golden Globes, and the Oscars, I occasionally watch the Tony Awards just to see what kind of theater material is out there. Occasionally, I don't know if I saw the one for last year. But last but not the least, when I come back, I want to talk about one of the awards. There were a lot of them that were touching, but one of the ones that I feel got the best response in terms of having collected that award. That's when I come back.
And the Oscar goes to 20 Days in Mirapol.
This is the first Oscar win and nomination for Mislav Chernev, Michelle Meisler.
This is the first Oscar in the Ukrainian history. And I'm honored. But probably I will be the first director on this stage who will say, I wish I would never made this film. I wish to be able to exchange this to Russia never attacking Ukraine, never occupying our cities. I wish to give all the recognition to Russia not killing tens of thousands of my fellow Ukrainians. I wish for them to release all the hostages, all the soldiers who are protecting their land, all the civilians who are now in their jails. But I cannot change the history. I cannot change the past. But we all together, you, I'm on you, some of the most talented people in the world, we can make sure that the history record is set straight and that the truth will prevail, and that the people of Mariupol and those who given their lives will never be forgotten. Because cinema forms memories, and memories form history. So thank you all, and thank you all. Thanks to Ukraine. Slava Ukraini.
So welcome back, everybody. And so to be honest, like, the day of the award, which was Sunday, I could only catch it live because I actually had to be at an occasion. I had to be at a wedding. And when I came back, the awards has already started. It had gone far, actually. And the part I met first, this was the first award I met. And it was the award that for the best documentary film, and it was given to a man, the director, who goes by the name of Krzysztof Chernoff. I hope I said his name correctly. And this award, for me, the reason why I think it was kind of special was because, you see, this award is how it was received. You got to be living under a special kind of rock now to not know that there is a war going on between Russia and Ukraine. If you are living under that kind of rock, please, I would like to have some of it, because sometimes I want to block out some of what is going on to maintain my sanity. So if by any chance you do not know that there is a war going on between Russia and Ukraine, please give me some of that rock, because I feel like I need some of it. So Krzysztof Chernoff, he wins the award for 20 Days in Mariupol. And of course, that documentary basically brings to the forefront of some of the events happening in Ukraine, or the outcome of the war. At the end of the day, you know, and when Mr. Chernoff receives this award, and, you know, he basically says something along the lines of he wishes them to release the hostages and the soldiers who are protecting their lands and all the civilians who are now in their jails. I mean, he says he cannot change history, he cannot change the past. But he says, we all together among you, most of the most talented people in the world, we can make sure that the history record is set straight and that the truth will prevail. One of the main things he says there, which I feel like when I heard that, I said, he just knows how to say the right things. And not that he's saying it, you know, like trying to game the system or anything, but he said the right words because it felt like it came from the heart. And he says, I wish to give all the recognition to Russia, not killing tens of thousands of my fellow Ukrainians. And at some point, you know, he says he wishes he could exchange the award. The general comprehension of what he says is that he would rather not take this award, but he would rather there be peace in Ukraine. But he doesn't have the award. But you see, without the war in Ukraine, he wouldn't have needed to make a film that would have won him an award. And guess what? He said, this is the first Oscar that has ever been won in Ukraine. So, I mean, it's a good thing. It's a bad thing. It's just one of those things that, you know, it's bittersweet. Yeah, you win an award, but it's because there's a war in your country that you make a film about it, and then you win an award. But so that's the reason why I felt like he said all the right things.
Only one will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that. And I will. Here it comes. And Maria, I see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes. Emma Thomas, Charles Gordon. What
happened? Yep. That was how the final award was announced at the Oscars. And you know, best, it's always the tradition. You're trying to save the best for last. You're trying to save the best for last. And normally you have the best picture. And then, you know, Al Pacino is the one to present it. And you hear how that goes. Of course, if you've been watching the awards, I don't know if there's anybody listening to this that does not know this, but if you're watching the awards, of course, you call the categories and then you call the winner. But Al Pacino just opens the envelope and, you know, says, only one will take the award for the best picture. I have to go to the envelope. And it says, here he comes. And he just says, Oppenheimer. Now, there are two ways I received this. First of all, I'm asking myself, is this a gaffe? Or was it scripted? Now, I don't know if there was anybody who remembered when, was it Steve Harvey was hosting a beauty pageant and he called the wrong person that won the final beauty pageant and then had to turn it around and say, oh, no, it's not you. Those moments are moments that are supposed to be flawless. But in this case, there was something about that moment that felt like, oh, maybe it was just scripted that way. Or was it a thing like, hey, man, we've taken too long in this show. It's time for you guys to be going home. Why are we wasting time? You all know that Oppenheimer is going to win it. And it's not like he called Oppenheimer, because the moment he called it, the music starts playing. And I mean, Chris Nolan and everybody, they're getting up to come get the award. So it's one of those events that we probably will never know is part of the show. Or maybe it will come out later and they will tell you, okay, this is what happened. Or, you know, he'll get on some show and they will interview him and he will tell you his own version of events. But right now, I can't say for sure why that happened the way it did. But it was no surprise that Oppenheimer won it for me. And I feel like anybody, it wasn't like they called one random movie and you're going to ask yourself, hey, you should have kept some element of mystery for that. I mean, it was Oppenheimer, so it was something that was well expected. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Real Talk Extra. Thank you so much for listening. I always love the award seasons. I can't get enough of it. Sometimes with the multiplicity of all the content that's out there, honestly, the award season actually guides me for what I can invest my time as far as my interaction with television is. All right, thank you once again. And until the next watch, keep being yourself in a world that's trying to make you something else.